Geekbusters mentioned this yesterday. I mentioned it again earlier in the show. Long Island's last duck farm forced to shutter and euthanize nearly 100,000 birds due to an outbreak of contagious bird flu, says the New York Post. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It has, we had to lock everybody down because of COVID. No, it's because of your response to it, if it existed, which it doesn't. You know, so an outbreak of H5N1 bird flu. Is it an outbreak, or did they run a procedure with a PCR test looking for a small fragment of DNA, something that they have not isolated, but they got a small fragment. And so we're looking for a small fragment of something, and we're going to blow it up by more than a trillion times. I don't know how much they're blowing it up now. I mean, they cycled it through 40 times and got it up to 1.1 trillion times. And when they did it before, but now they've got a digital PCR that's even worse in terms of its magnification. So they take a tiny DNA fragment that is not of anything that they've isolated, and they test for that by blowing it up by over a trillion times. So they said it was Long Island's last remaining duck farm, and it forced the operators to put down 99,000 birds. Farms operator Doug Corwin, this is a sad story, this is a family business, but you know, family businesses are not essential. They must be destroyed, as a matter of fact. Family farms, they got to go. Farms owner Doug Corwin broke down in tears as he said that the disease has been the worst disaster to hit the location since it opened in 1908. Well, I'm sorry for what's happening to Doug, but I got to say to him that the disease is not the problem. The government is the disease. Even if this was a real pandemic, according to their paradigm, what sense does it make to kill every single duck if one of them tests positive? They don't say that the bird was sick. They don't say the bird died. And we've seen this over and over again. I reported in New Zealand. You know, they have a very lucrative Manuka honey business down there, and this one apiary, because they found some spores of some kind of a fatal parasite or something, but they didn't find the parasite. They found the spores, and it wasn't with the bees. It was with some new boxes that they had bought. And as a result, they nearly wiped this farmer out, killing everything. And so it's the government's reaction to it. They're telling people that they said, there's no threat to humans. It doesn't go to humans. Okay, well then, if it's only a threat to the ducks, why don't you give them a chance, right? Let's say that it's a real disease. Let's say it's really virulent. And let's say that it kills 50% of the ducks. Why can't those other 50% live? And if they survived, well, then maybe it's going to be a hardier breed and you're going to wind up with super ducks that are resistant to this disease. If there was a disease. We don't even know that. You know, they find some dead birds and they test them and test positive. Do we know that that was what killed them? Or did they die with a genetic fragment found around them? Or did the genetic fragment kill them? He said it was like COVID for ducks. Well, he's right about that. Everything ended, he said. And he said it may mean the end of his business, as he will be forced to lay off many of his 75 people that work there. It's a small business. Still, 75 people were dependent on it. That's what the government is doing. That's why they're doing this. This doesn't make any sense. Like I said before, you know, even if you had something that was 100% casual case fatality rate, and not all of them would necessarily catch it, so they wouldn't necessarily die. But what is the case fatality rate if you got one PCR test and you kill 100,000 birds? A quarantine has been created in the facility as they are being euthanized. Officials have reassured people that there's little threat to humans at the time. So why do this, right? Makes no sense. Give the ducks a break. Corwin faces, he says, the, quote, huge, huge task, unquote, of having his facilities undergo deep scrub downs and inspections by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. These are the culprits. Folks, it's not the bird flu that you have to worry about. It's the U.S. Department of Agriculture. These are the people who are trying to destroy our meat, our dairy, our poultry, our eggs. It's the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Is Trump going to do anything about it? No, he's not even concerned about that. He's playing with crypto stuff and making money, renaming the Gulf of Mexico. That's the big problem, isn't it? No, the big problem is that you got the federal government out there not only killing chickens, but they are also establishing a small oligarchy of food processors. You've got four food processors that have nearly a monopoly on all the food processing. When I had Christine Massey on the other day, she said, if somebody does something like this to you, demand proof. Show me what you've isolated. Show me what your test. Show me your data. Show me your PCR method. You demand proof of this. Don't just give in on this. They kind of wipe him out anyway. Why not refuse? Why not say, prove it? Corwin faces this huge test. They're going to euthanize everything. USDA, Plant and Animal Inspection Service. Service, mine. He expects this to take between 2 and 3 months for them to kill and sanitize everything. He says, I've got a lot of hurdles to overcome to even start up again. He hopes that the 7,000 duck eggs that he acquired before the outbreak can be hatched off-site. Well, don't bet on it, because this whole thing is set up by the USDA to destroy our food supply. So don't bet even on that. He said, that might be the basis of being able to start up again. It might, he said, repeating it. He said, still, that won't be known for at least a year or two down the road. He is the fourth generation owner of this duck farm. His farm's selective breeding resulted in a meatier bird that has enough skin fat to make it really, really succulent. And it's been the key to his success for over a century. But we can't have any family farmers. They're non-essential. We got to shut that down. Everything's got to be under the control of just a few big organizations. By the late 1980s, duck farms became few and far between on Long Island as the industry failed. And like I said, I don't understand why the industry failed, unless it was a change in taste or whatever. Crescent wasn't threatened, however, thanks to his savvy business choice to invest in his own industrial feeder rather than relying on a supplier. He said it was probably the smartest thing that we ever did. Even when COVID ravaged the economy, his sales plummeted to only 10% of their usual number. He still endured. So he lost 90% of his business, was able to survive under Trump. But now the U.S. Department of Agriculture is going to come in and kill every single one of his birds, probably not even a sick bird. But they came in with their PCR tests. New York's first case of bird flu from 3 years ago was also found in Suffolk County. Now Corwin fears losing the iconic business for reasons beyond his family's welfare. A local legacy, says the New York Post, may fly away for good. He said, I don't really want the only Long Island Ducks to be baseball players. So I guess it was prevalent enough that they named the team after it. Lab-grown meat backlash is building as more states say no to Bill Gates' fake food. And Zero Hedge points out, you got two states, Florida and Alabama, have banned lab-grown meat for consumption, while three others have proposed similar restrictions on the 3D-printed meat. 10 states also now mandate labeling of lab-grown meat. Meanwhile, the rest of the U.S. has no regulation governing fake meat. So you got two states have banned it. Three others are proposing similar restrictions. And 10 states mandate the labeling. So they're pushing back on this. But what happens if we lose all the family farms? What options do we have then, right? Again, the real problem, even more so than lab meat, is the USDA. The USDA is doing the dirty work for Bill Gates. It's the government coming in and banning cars that, leaving you only with the alternative of what Elon Musk is selling. That's the issue. It's the government coming in and doing this. In the era of Trump 2.0 and Make America Healthy Again, people trying to promote nutritious, clean, and natural food. Well, notice that it's not Trump that's doing this. It's not Trump. This is being done by states. We don't have to have everything done at the federal government. As a matter of fact, the federal government is so corrupted and the politicians are so thoroughly owned that you're not going to get any legislation like this out of the federal government. It needs to be done at the state level. So don't wait for MAHA and RFK Jr. to fix this. You can get it done at the state level. It's already being done at some of the states. On Monday, Nebraska Governor Jim Pillen announced a new legislative proposal to ban lab-grown meat from being produced in or sold in stores across Nebraska. He says it's important that we get on the offense so that Nebraska farmers and ranchers are not undermined. But see, they're being undermined. If you didn't have the USDA coming in and making it impossible for them to survive, it's the government actions and the government regulations that are driving the farmers out of business, making way for Bill Gates. He's just sitting back and waiting for them to ban the alternatives to his product. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis banned fake meat from supermarket shelves in early 2024. He said the state was taking action to stop the World Economic Forum's goal of forcing the world to eat lab-grown meat and insects. That's not the way it's going to work. I'm glad he's doing that. But what you need to do is, instead of banning lab-grown meat, you need to ban the USDA. They're the problem. DeSantis also said, take your fake lab-grown meat elsewhere. We're not doing that in the state of Florida. He said, you need to say, take your USDA elsewhere. We're not doing that in the state of Florida. So Bill Gates, you know, saying we need to change cows. We've got to work towards artificial meat. You know, that's the climate MacGuffin. And now here's another example. This is a family that was, I think, third generation ranchers. So the duck farm was fourth generation. Have been doing that for 100 years. Said when thousands of American independent cattle farmers are going under each year, why are they failing? Again, it goes back to government regulations. It goes back again to the USDA. Remember why they came after Amos Miller, the Amish farmer? Well, you're going to have your cattle slaughtered at a USDA-approved site. See, so regulations. It's the USDA that is funneling all of this stuff into a few gigantic multinational corporations. No, you're not going to be able to raise this stuff and slaughter it on your own. You got to send it to them. One young couple believes that they found a way to save the family farm. Livestock farming is now a far cry from what it once was, when ranchers would sell into competitive markets with prices based on quality as well as prevailing supply and demand. Today, only four global meat packing companies exist. U.S.-based Cargill and Tyson Foods. And again, the Tyson Foods, they're really big into chicken and big into the Clintons, who worked for them. Clintons said, well, we'll change the definition of frozen food, frozen chicken. You can freeze the chicken as long as it's not frozen for, I don't know what the time was, 72 hours or something. If it's frozen for less than 72 hours, we'll say it's fresh. Well, it's not fresh. It's frozen now, right? That helped them to extend their reach. So the government can pave the way for certain people, you know, with regulations, give them exceptions, redefine things. You can give them subsidies, as the government gave Elon Musk, or they can be super tight with their regulations and put people out of business. So you've got Cargill, you've got Tyson, those are American, Brazilian-based JBS, and National Beef and Marfrig. That's what it says. I don't know if that's supposed to be manufacturing. It says Marfrig. Together, they buy 85% of all cattle in the United States, just those four companies. And many once independent ranchers have devolved into contract labor for these companies, often selling at prices that don't cover their costs. They're sharecroppers. They've taken ranchers and turned them into sharecroppers through government regulation and working hand in glove with giant multinational corporations. This is the pattern we're seeing everywhere. Everything is being destroyed this way. And you look at, when you look at Monsanto, and glyphosate and Roundup. They would use that and poison the land for anything that wasn't their seeds. Only their seeds could grow in that. That's the way they get rid of their weeds. But when they took it to India and went to the small farmers that were there, and the farmers had to, once they used it, they had to buy all their seeds from there on from Monsanto. And they turned into sharecroppers for Monsanto, and they couldn't make any money because Monsanto was tightening the screws down on them. And I'll never forget all the farmers in India that were committing suicide because they'd been driven out of business. The result has been an aggregate loss of 655,000 cattle farms since 1980. That's just staggering. 655,000 farms, with an average of 20,000 ranches going under per year in America over the last 5 years. It's accelerating. After years of losing money under this system, however, Avery and Mark Rigglesworth, owners of Lily Hill Farm in West Point, Georgia, decided to take a different path. The only way to survive, they said, was to build their own market that sells directly to customers. While Avery grew up on the Georgia farm, Mark was raised on Jersey, a small island in the English Channel. They met in Jersey, where they both were working office jobs in the finance industry. In 2019, Avery was told by her father that the family farm, originally founded by her grandfather after he returned home to Georgia from a POW camp in Germany after World War II, she was told that the family farm would be sold. The herd had been sold off down to 80 cattle in order to pay debts, and the farm had fallen into what Mark calls a death spiral. What was left was no longer able to generate enough income to keep the business going. Avery and Mark decided to quit their jobs in England and to move to Georgia, hoping that the farm could be saved. We are now the third generation, and there's already been something that's drawn, always been something that's drawn me to this place. It would have broken my heart to see it parceled up and houses and subdivisions built all over it. I just felt like it needed to have one last chance to see if we could turn it around. They soon realized that it could not survive as it was being run. We were just selling the calf crop at the local stockyards. That's generally how these cow-calf operations sell. But they weren't getting enough from the processors to pay for the expenses, and they had to find another way. And that's what's putting people out of business. Right? They got four processors, and that's the way the USDA wants it. That's why they're raiding Amish farms like Amos Miller's. She said it was a leap of faith, but we had no other option. In the 3 years we've been running this place, we had a net operating loss of nearly $600,000. So it was either pack it in and leave with our tail between our legs or take an even bigger leap and see if that would work. We just had to bite the bullet and keep everything back for 2 years with no farm revenue. During the 2 years of transition, they designed their own online store. They expanded their following, and they found a company in Alabama that would do the meat processing for them. You got to hunt around, becoming very, very rare to find anybody that the government will allow to process food. I mean, they're in Georgia. They got to go all the way to Alabama to find somebody that can process the meat for them. Once processed, the beef is returned to them, stored in a walk-in freezer on their farm, shipped out to customers via UPS. 2 years ago, their website and online store went live, selling beef directly to customers that is pasture-raised without additional growth hormones, antibiotics, or animal byproducts. So they're going high quality. But this is also going to be very expensive, and so you can see where this is all leading. They said there's a big market out there where people want to know where their food is coming from. They want to know that there's a family behind it. They want to know the people, the story behind the products that they're purchasing, assuming that you can afford to pay the price. And you see, that's where this is all headed. If you can't afford to buy, you know, can have some boutique farms that are allowed to operate and sell directly to the customer. But for the vast majority of stuff, nobody's going to be able to afford it because the government's regulations have strangled the cattle industry. And so you're going to have to eat the bugs. It's basically the way it's going to operate for the most part. While they destroy the poultry with this bird flu scam and, you know, create egg shortages.
Hello, it's me, Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm so tired of wearing these same t-shirts everywhere for years. You'd think with all the billions I've skimmed off America, I could dress better. And I could, if only David Knight would send me one of his beautiful gray MacGuffin hoodies or a new black t-shirt with the MacGuffin logo in blue. But he told me to get lost. Maybe one of you American suckers can buy me some at thedavidknightshow.com. And David is giving a 10% discount to listeners from now until 2025. At that price, you should be able to buy me several hundred. Those amazing sand-colored microphone hoodies are so beautiful. I'd wear something other than green military cosplay to my various galas and social events. If you want to save on shipping, just put it in the next package of bombs and missiles coming from the USA.